I would like to remind all participants that the recording has started. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the NCSG Open Policy Call on the 3rd of June, 2014. On the call today, we have Ravik Demick, Carlos Raul, Klaus Stahl, Marinelle Marcel, Niles Tenover, and Rudy Van Snick. We have no apologies. From staff, we have myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Rafiq.
Thank you, Terry, and thanks for everyone to attend this call today. So maybe just a reminder. So it's a monthly call we organize for NCSG membership. Usually it's 2-3 days before the GNSO council call, so we can discuss about the GNSO meeting agenda, and if we can discuss about several policies that it will be covered in that council call, but then we can discuss about other policy to get updates from working groups and so on, if there is any public comment that we want to cover. And in any other business, we can have different topics depending to the, to the timing. And for this time, we are going to talk more about preparation to the ICANN meeting in London. So, so I went through quickly about through the agenda. But if you have any comment or you want to say something about it, please go ahead. And please use the Adobe Connect to get in the queue. That make it more easy to manage the queue. So, okay, I guess there is no objection with the current agenda. So we will start with going through the agenda of the GNSO Council. I will try to share through my screen. If not, I can send the link so we can. Everybody will be in sync. Regarding the agenda items. One sec, please. Okay, can you see the agenda? Please, if you don't speak, please mute yourself to avoid the echo. Okay, thanks. So, please mute yourself. It's quite not sure what kind of problem I have now. Anyway, so... Okay, so the first item is about the notion.
Excuse me, this is Terry from staff. As a reminder, if you're not speaking, you'll want to mute your line. If mute is not available on your telephone, you can press star 6 to mute or star 6 a second time to unmute. So sorry for interrupting.
Okay, so I hope that it's fixed now. So, as you see, the first motion is about a PDP on intergovernmental and international NGO access to collective rights protection mechanism. So, maybe for the newcomer, there is kind of history about providing some rights protection, which started with discussion to give that to Red Cross and the International Olympic Committee. And we have a long discussion in that time. Now it's more a motion about to give that, I think, to international NGO. And I think Avery can explain better than me this issue and to explain the context. In particular, there is two, I think, related motion. So the one to initiate the PDP and the one to approve a charter for the working group. So, Avery, please go ahead. Avery? Avery, can you speak? So at least can you hear me? I'm trying to check that everything is okay. Okay, I think Avery is better to control the Skype.
Hi, Avery. It's Perry from staff. If you could private chat me, we'd also be happy to dial out to you. It does appear that your microphone is active. It is unmuted on the Adobe Connect side, Avery.
Okay, in the meantime, if someone wants to have a question or he wants or she wants a clarification, he can ask maybe in the chat or he can speak up and then Avery can participate to MG and let's fix this problem of, to go through Skype. so, okay. Or at the same time, we also have two counselors. Maybe they have they can give some briefing, and just in the meantime, either David or Klaus.
Hello, good morning. As you know, can you hear me?
Yes,
Klaus. This is Klaus.
Yes, Klaus, please go ahead. We can hear
you. Okay. Yeah, as you know, historically, this the whole question about Red Cross and Red Crescent and the Olympic Committee is something which is very close to the heart of the NPOC constituency. And as things stand at the moment, we are not very content with any kind of motions or with the positions are taken, quite simply because the real needs of civil society and of the NGOs are not really considered. If these things are going again into the direction of very fairly specific rights for very specific already protected organizations. So we are at the moment in the process of getting a written statement from Laurie Schulman in legal language so that we can make our position absolutely clear. And we were hoping that that statement would be available by next Friday, but at the moment this is not quite clear because Laurie Schulman at the moment has an immense volume of work and changes in our own practice and organization. So we are waiting for it, and it will be a very interesting time. And as I said, our main concern is the NGOs and the end users and the protection of civil society. And that needs to be in all these statements and motions much, much clearer. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus. Just to understand, NPOC is working on statements, but if I see the two motion is about approval of PGP working group in IGO and INGO access to corrective rights. So, I mean, what's expected from this statement?
The statement, I don't want to foreclose exactly on the statement because I haven't seen it yet, but I think I fairly clearly indicated to you that whilst we are basically are okay with the working groups and things like that, I think the remit and the overall gist and direction has to go much, much further than just INGOs and these things. And I think you will see that reflected in the statement. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Klaus. So, Avery, can you speak up now? Or?
I believe she's going to try to join the audio portion. She has not been able to do that as of yet.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. She's waiting for the operator. Okay. So maybe David can explain. I mean, as counselor about these two motion and what he think. I mean, how NCSG should proceed. David, can you hear me? David?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Basically, what did you want to talk about?
I mean, we are discussing the item 4, item 5, the two motions.
Yeah.
I can answer now if anyone would like.
Oh, welcome, Avery.
Thank you.
So,
So I don't want to interrupt David. So I'll let David finish telling you all about it. But after David's finished, I'll... Oh, okay. Thank you, David.
No, you speak first.
Okay, thank you. So I'm assuming I can be heard now. I dialed in with Skype because for some reason the Adobe chat wasn't letting me speak. Okay, now this is a motion that comes out of a recommendation of the previous PDP on the IGOs and the INGOs, so the intergovernmental organizations and the international non-governmental organizations. The point that was that is among the extra permissions, the extra protections that the IGOs and NGOs were given was the ability to use things like the Trademark Clearinghouse or the URS and URDP. The way those things are designed at the moment, you need to have a trademark in order to be able to use them. But for the most part, the IGOs and the INGOs do not have trademarks on their names. Their names are registered by the various UN, ISO, you know, or ECOSOC as listed. So basically, one of the decisions, recommendations made by that working group and as approved by the GNSO was to then put together a working group to look at the idea of expanding the URS, URDP, and the TMCH, the Trademark Clearinghouse, to also accept appeals or whatever they're properly called from the IGOs or the INGOs. This would require a change to the UDRP and the TMCH, and I believe also to the URS. So that's what could be discussed. This PDP does not start out with a presumption that they will be changed, and although one of the recommendations that's obviously expected from this is a recommendation to change it in a particular way so that they can also use those events. Now, NCSG as a whole wasn't particularly happy and didn't particularly approve of the IGO INGO solutions. We were among the minority in that. Most of the IGO INGO has already gone through in terms of the top level, in terms of some of the protections at the second level, but the ability to use those other mechanisms is not. So that's what this PDP is about. And it's basically there's two parts of this, 4 and 5. One of them is to start a PDP, and the other one is to approve a charter for this PDP. I guess that covers what the issue is. Now, whether we want to vote for this PDP or not is one issue. I expect this PDP would get a sufficient vote even without us and such. The more important issue to me will be the longer term of participating and making sure. What Klaus, I think, had been talking about was that certainly INGOs, which is one of the operational concerns of MPOC, is not, not considered to be sufficiently protected in various places. I think it was quite a successful thing, even though it wasn't something that NCSG was terribly happy about, is that if IGOs were going to get any special permission, then INGOs had to get them too. Now, we were perhaps not in favor of anybody getting them, but so there were really two sides to the issue. Does anybody get them? And if anybody gets them, do both get them? And my concern would probably remain, this is my personal concern, would remain is I am not so, I was very upset about the outright prohibitions of these various names at top level and second level. I'm not as upset about them being able to use UDRP or the Trademark Clearinghouse for their names. I actually thought that that would have been the better solution for everything. That's sort of water over the dam, and I'm being echoed at the moment, so I'll stop.
Uh,
Thanks, Avery. Thanks for this briefing, guys. So, the question then, you think that NCSG should vote for this for the two motion without any problem, so we can support them?
I don't know that we should. I don't think it matters whether we do or not. The PDPs will probably... could somebody please shut their microphone so that we're not echoing? So anyhow, I don't know that there's a should not vote for it. I believe that the threshold for starting a PDP is low enough, and since the PDP was recommended by a previous PDP, I expect it'll go through. I think people should decide to vote, you know, on whether they think it's worth doing the PDP or not. I expect that. So I'm not really thinking of a should or not should. I don't think there's a normative on this. I do think we should participate and make sure that the right things happen. And perhaps even Klaus's goal of expanding the use of INGOs might be possible. I don't know, though. Because once you open the PDP, then you see where you go.
Thanks, Avi. As you said, the threshold is low, just one-third of each house or two-thirds of one house. So I guess maybe we need to think about the next step, how we should participate in the PDP and the working group anyway. Okay. We have Klaus and Kathy in the queue. So, Klaus, please go ahead.
Thank you. Just to reflect what Afri says, I think we should vote for the PDP, but I will make certain comments and maybe even objections against the charter as it exists. And otherwise, the recipe will be done, or the thing will be done during the working group, and we won't. We won't know what's coming out of it, but I think as NGSG as a whole, we really, really need to be very much on the side of protecting the rights of all NGOs and not just of very specific organizations who already enjoy quite a lot of rights, and I think that's one of our core business. Thank you. So my recommendation is basically to vote for the PDP, but minimum to make comment and objections against the charter as it is.
Klaus, Kathy.
Hi. Good morning. Good evening, everybody. We never designed the UDRP. Or the URS for anything that wasn't a certified mark. We worked really, really hard to say that someone else had to confirm a piece of paper, a governmental organization, namely a trademark office, had to confirm a piece of paper that this mark, this trademark or service mark, was being used in commerce. For the countries like mine, like the United States, that practice common law trademarks, we obliterated them. We said you cannot use them in the trademark clearinghouse. You can barely use them in the UDRP. So here, as we're looking to expand this concept of expanding them to all sorts of organizational names, creates an ambiguity and a lack of clarity, a lack of notice for registrants who have probably never heard of these organizational names. In fact, most of the international governmental organization names, the UN names, are ones that are commonly used in lots of other places. Who? The who? I mean, I've had fights for 12 years with the World Health Organization, guys, that they do not own the letters WHO, and they cannot stop a famous rock group or a future famous rock group from using them. So we are going into a blind area here that makes it very, very, very difficult to run very fast, very cheap processes, and this is a slippery slope to making it very, very easy, much, much easier to take away domain names from registrants. So here's my question, though. The charter, we are having trouble with charters. We got a lousy charter for the proxy privacy accreditation working group. We spent a lot of time we had really, really biased questions coming in. Can you guys get in there? What right, what ability do you have to work with the charter and make it fairer so that the working group starts with a fairer and more balanced and more neutral set of questions? Because charters are normally coming in because someone wants something, and they'll skew it to get what they want. Is there a way to make it neutral coming in? And that's my question. How bad is the charter, and can you make it better?
Thanks, Kathy. I think Avery and Klaus want to respond to you. Yeah. Avery?
Okay, yeah, thanks. This is Avery again. 2 points I wanted to ask. I think the way – I'm assuming I can be heard again. Two points I wanted to make. First of all, as the charter is written currently, I believe those names are restricted to the same subsets that were used in terms of adding it. So it's the ECOSOC lists. So those lists are actually more accessible to people, to the common people, than a trademark is. I mean, actually, it's probably just the same. You just have to go to the right place on the web to find it, just like you do a trademark list. Although finding trademarks, marks from other countries can be challenging. So now I do not believe as it stands that the abbreviations would be included, but, you know, and I need to actually, I was trying to pull up, I'm working on just my small screen as opposed to multiple screens. I was trying to pull up the charter so I could check for sure. But I don't think the acronyms are included in this or would be. Now, part of what Klaus was, I believe, mentioning is there were those from, MPOC and others that were looking for different sets of conditions for defining the sets of names that would be allowed. So that would be something that I believe at this point would require a charter change, and I believe that's what Klaus was referring to, as opposed to the sort of minimal ECOSOC lists. Now, one thing I want to point out about the charter, which was another issue, is I don't believe in this case that we had a charter working group, but I don't remember. Maybe David or Klaus can fill in that bit of information. I think this was a charter that was pretty much put together by staff based upon the recommendations of the PDP group. So when I was, this PDP is sort of growing out of the previous PDP, and I think that's what determined the charter. But as soon as I stop talking, I will go look at the charter so I can affirm whether what I said is indeed the case. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Just have a question. So if we have problem with the charter and we think that we need some changes, I guess it's not really possible through, how to say, amendment to the motion itself, but can we maybe ask to defer and working on the charter or just trying to defeat this motion and then initiating another process to get the drafting team and so on?
Well, if we defeat the charter, then we'd have to go back to drafting of the charter. Let's say we approve the PDP. I assume you're asking me. Assume we approve the PDP but don't approve the charter or postpone the vote on the charter because the charter needs more work, and, you know, that's quite possible. Then, and we could certainly argue for that, and I think that on Klaus's side, I would recommend before objecting to the charter is actually trying to argue for more work on the charter if that's what he wanted. The two of them are separate. First, the PDP is approved, then the charter is approved. If the PDP fails, well, then obviously there's no charter. But the PDP could succeed, but the charter could be delayed for further work. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. So we have Klaus and then David. So, yeah, Klaus, you go ahead.
Okay, this is Klaus again. I think Afri is right in the sense that we should refer the charter or postpone the charter. And one of the reasons, and I mentioned that right at the beginning, and I think it has been mentioned too now, this is also a legal question. This is a question of trademark law and things like that. And we need professionals to give us a little bit of advice and background. This is what actually we are waiting for in NPOC, because we can't play amateur lawyers and make decisions where we actually don't know what the real situation is, and this is why we are waiting. And I think that would be also the argument for postponing the charter and rework on the charter again. Thank you.
Thanks, Klaus. Dave? David?
David, it's Terry from staff. It appears that your mic is muted.
Yes, sorry. Hello?
Yes, we can
you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just wasn't sure. Okay, so given that this is that the having the PDP at all comes out from a consensus, from a recommendation we've already voted for, unless we thought there was something terribly wrong with the IRT or so on, I think we should vote for there being a PDP. But I agree that there are big problems with the charter, and in particular, we should review it pretty carefully. And Kathy's point about what exactly is protected by the URS and UDRP is a good one, and we need to ensure that the charter sort of acknowledges that we need to look at that question carefully, and that question may end up resolving that it's impractical to use the URS and the UDRP to protect IGO marks that have a different sort of origin from trademarks. So I think I'm agreeing with what other people are saying. I have no objection to the PDP going ahead, but I'm concerned about the charter and the sort of assumptions of the PDP. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. I guess now I can understand that kind of consensus that, okay, we can live with the PDP, but we would like to ask to work more than the charter. So I guess you as councillor have some option to do that, and you need to work during the council call in that regard. Okay? I'm not sure. Yes, David, yeah.
I mean, can I add to that slightly? Kathy's quite right in that trademarks have, classes that they cover and so on, and the organisation, a lot of the IGOs in particular, often seem to interpret it as if they have blanket protection for their string in any context. And in particular, the idea that the WHO should get some sort of blanket veto of the word who is exactly the sort of problem that we need to be very concerned about. And the IGOs often do seem to think that is how things should be interpreted. So.
Okay. We have Kathy and Klaus. Klaus, please go ahead.
I'll be happy to wait for Klaus.
Sorry, that was an old one.
Yeah, somehow we lost. I was looking through the proposal, and we've lost it. It's not on the screen anymore. But if there's anything I can do to help, I was on the drafting teams of both the UDRP and the URS. And again, the major thing we did when we were creating these ultra-fast, unlegal systems, they're ultra-legal, guys. They don't exist to do any kind of the balance of a real trademark infringement review, because there's no time. Even the UDRP, which now looks old and clunky, it is not. It's really, really so much faster than court. and with so much less proof, and with very, very biased panelists, since they're coming from the World Intellectual Property Organization. And there's a litmus test, and we know there's a litmus test to see if they're pro-trademark enough. And that's on the record, so let everybody reflect that. Be very careful with this stuff, guys. This is, I mean, we worked really, really hard. There was a promise that the UDRP would never be used for anything other than registered trademarks. That was the promise that was given 15 years ago. As we start the slippery slope towards expanding these ultra-fast systems, it's really registrants that are going to suffer because they're not going to be able to use basic words. So if there's anything I can do to help, or if there's any trademark law, I am an international trademark attorney. I do that on purpose. I stay involved with trademarks very, very closely and register lots and lots of them so that I know the process of doing it, and I know how hard it is to do it. So if there's anything I can do to help you with this stuff, please let me know. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Okay, we are now 40 minutes in this call, but I will get the comment. Yeah, no.
I had my hand up again. I just wanted to add some stuff because I did bring up the actual charter was included in the final report from the last group. So it's been through review and such. Now, the PDP group is tasked to provide the GNSO Council with a policy recommendation as to whether there is a need for special protections atop the second level, but all existing and new names and acronyms. So it basically came out of that. Now, the group, and the charter, though, for this group, I believe, was actually already gone through. So it'll be harder to postpone it in a sense, but we'll see what happens. But I understand what you're saying, Kathy. I think there's a problem. There's several problems. One of my problems has always been, why do businesses get special protections when NGOs and other organizations don't, even if they're approved by the UN and such? And I understand the regular registrants, but an NGO is indeed another kind of registrant. And it's not a business. It's actually a public service type of operation. So one of the things that I understand that it was made to that the trademark protections are all there to protect businesses, but I'm wondering whether, you know, as a non-commercial entity, we shouldn't have some concern also for things that aren't businesses and don't use the business methods of marking up everything they think they own. So I think there's stuff to think about there. That's all I'm saying. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I think we covered in detail this issue. I guess for counsel, you have some understanding what maybe you should do and what you will discuss in the council. So we count on you on that. So I'm not sure how much you can improve the charter. And how to do that, but we really count on you. Okay. Let's go to the next agenda item in GNSO Council call. I will ask maybe better Jerry to do that. Terry, can you please share this link? I mean, the page.
Certainly, I can. One moment.
For some reason, I have problems for sharing. So I think the next item is about who is Thaddeus, if I'm not mistaken. It's close the work and who is Thaddeus and discuss any appropriate next steps. Mm-hmm. So I guess here there is no real big issue in regard to close the WHO study, but maybe discussion would be more about what to do, next steps, and maybe how to do the studies and so on. That can be, I mean, I think for some study we have some concern about the scientific method and how to say the conclusion made from those studies.
I apologize, Rafiq. That was a web page, and it's just not coming up. It's not sharing properly for me. I'm still working on it.
Oh, okay. So, okay. So, and I guess let me try. So, okay. So, sorry for the silence. So, we're waiting for Trudy to share the page. So, it's the next item is to discuss the motion about close the working WHO studies and discuss any appropriate next steps. So, I shared the link in Adobe Connect. So, if you in the meantime, you can access to that page. And I would like to ask any counselor what they think. I mean, check quickly. I don't think it's quite it's not a controversial motion, but we would like, I mean, I would like to hear their opinion and what they think we should do in this. Yeah, and we have a volunteer starting with David. Yeah. Yeah, David.
Yeah, this is uncontroversial. I just want to say this one is uncontroversial. It's just there've been a series of studies.
Dave, can you speak more louder? It's hard to hear you.
More loudly? Can you hear me?
Yes, it's better now.
Better now?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I've got a new headset that I'm sort of fiddling with. It may not be still adjusting levels and things. Okay, so there's a series of studies. We've finished. This is more just a sort of formally closing them down. We might sort of talk about next steps, but yeah, this is, and I think it's uncontroversial and pretty much a request from the staff. Could we just sort of formally close this sort of thing so it can be taken off? You know, the list of open items and so on. I don't think there's anything to sort of discuss, much to discuss here.
Okay. So, I say it looks not really controversial, but if, I mean, Klaus or Avi have, I mean, has any opinion about that, or just, I mean, I guess we can move on. Okay, I think, yeah, we can maybe move to the next item, since I hear no real objection or question. So I think that's all for the motion. So the council will have three motions to vote on Thursday. The next item is more discussing about internet governance issue. So it's about proposal to form a cross-community working group to work on transition from NTIA. And so I guess it's about the charter, discussing about the charter for this working group and maybe the representation and so on. Thanks, Thierry. It's item number 7.
I can sort of briefly speak to this one. I think this will be about this will be focused on that cross-community working group about the NTIA. I think the main concern, one of the GNSO hasn't got very far in discussing how it feels about this one, other than we all sort of seem to feel that currently I think it's slated to include 2 representatives in the GNSO, and we would all rather it be 4, because that way we can have 1 per stakeholder group, and that's easy to do. And we'll be talking about how to, there's a bunch of issues. I'm sure many of the issues already sort of discussed about the IANA transition will be discussed. One thing that is sort of notable about this is there seem to be a lot of people sort of saying the IANA NTIA transition discussions really should, while this will be a cross-community working group, quite a few people are talking about how we need to deal with the 3 different parts of the IANA function need to be considered. It need to be considered separately, even if we end up with some sort of shared solution. So while it will be a cross-community working group, I'm sure there will be lots of GNSO-specific, rather us and the CCNSO are concerned about the root zone and management functions, but I'm sure there will be separate work done by the ASO and so on about their issues, and so on. But this working group with the CCNSO likely will be very focused on root zone issues, and we all think that perhaps. Sorry? Anyway, that's all about I have to say. This will be a discussion issue item, but there won't be any concrete outcome. I think currently the GSO position is perhaps we would like to have 4 people on this rather than 2, but that's about as much as we thought. I think that's correct. Any councillors want to correct me?
Thanks, David. I think, it's always a problem about the representation, and it's something that pop up every time, I guess, and for any cross-community working group. So this is just about the IANA stewardship transition. So my understanding, there was also proposal to have a cross-community working group and accountability too, or it's not. End their discussion yet.
It may well come up. Just out of interest, I was talking to one of the vice chairs of the GAC today, and the GAC and the GNSO both sort of feel they would like to have more people on cross-community working groups, and also both share opinion that the accountability and IANA processes need to be quite strongly linked. So, rare case of the GAC and the GNSO being having a similar.
Thanks, Dave. I hope that it will to become concrete as soon as possible. I mean, the more the time takes by the community, the more hard I get to deliver and to start working. But it will be nice to hear from others what they think about this cross community working group. You know, it's still it's not really close to be set up soon, since we are still discussing about representation issue. Okay, I guess there is no question here. Maybe we need to wait for more details and updates. So we can maybe have more clear opinion on that. So I guess we can move to the next item, which is an update on the work of the GNSO review working party. They have been, I think it's kind of officially started 2 or 3 weeks ago. Maybe they have already three conf calls, and they are working on a kind of survey that it will be again shared later with the community to get their feedback. So we have several representatives from NCSG in that working party, and so I guess that this item in for GNSO Council will be just kind of update of what's happening there, and so I don't expect any action from GNSO Council, but maybe we can ask some members of that working party from NCAG. I think we have in this call we have Avery and Klaus and Rudy. So Avery, you have any thought about this working party or something that you could share?
I guess so. I'm kind of unhappy with the working party the way it's structured. I'm kind of unhappy with this whole review. It's very much SIC dominated, Structural Improvements Committee or whatever they're calling themselves, but SIC is a good name for them. It is their acronyms after all. It's very much a top-down thing, and part of what the working party has sort of been wrestling with is how to make it a little less so. Now, what we've mostly been talking about is the range of the questionnaire and the types of questions, and we've been into nitty-gritty minutiae such as how long should it be, how hard should it be, who should it be distributed to. I don't think we've gotten to the quality of questions yet, but, you know, getting into issues like some people know a lot. Should there be a quick questionnaire that gives you an option to go on to a more complicated questionnaire, et cetera? The group really hasn't gotten much beyond talking questionnaires that I've seen in the meetings I've been at. But I guess I'm still of the point that, you know, this is really a top-down driven review. And, you know, so, but that's where we're at. But not a lot has been done yet. But we don't have that much time to do a lot. And I think the kind of approach we're getting is, you guys better hurry up and do something or else we're just going to do it. And, you know, we're in our normal, let's talk in 25 circles before we get to a point mode. So who knows what's going to happen. I'm not real happy about all of this working party review stuff. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Klaus, please go ahead.
Yes, I would just try to say that I completely agree with what Avery says. And also, one of my observations is that the questionnaire and everything is basically done that the group basically evaluates itself, and there is no aspect to go beyond or to make it inclusive or to make it easy for for people who are not engaged with ICANN or the GMSO, basically to get involved. And so far, I think the whole thing is in a way a farce, but like Afri, I will stay in the wings and wait and try to make my point. But as it looks at the moment, there's not much good we have to expect from that direction. Thank you.
Thanks, Klaus. So I guess, the GMSO review process itself should start in July. So if there is a tight timeline, and I guess that's why maybe the focus on to finalize or to discuss the survey. I'm not sure how much easy it can be, and so how it can be, data we can get from the survey. Okay, so I guess we can move to the next item. Is an update on the work of the GAG and GNSO consultation group. This kind of item, which is in all of the previous council calls, so I'm not sure how much updated.
Can we mute her phone?
So this an update about the group work. I'm not sure who is member of that group who is attending this call. Usually we have updates from others who is not attending this. Siri, can you please ask the operator to mute this phone?
Yes, it's actually coming from the Adobe Connect side, so I was trying to isolate it on that side.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Rudy.
Very often the time.
Okay, so can you hear me well now? Okay.
Yes, go ahead, Rafi.
Thanks. So, I said usually we have updates from our about this group. But I'm not sure who is also from NCAG in this group, but I guess it's Avri who is raising her hand. Yes, Avri, please go ahead.
Yeah, basically, this is Avri. I was added to the group. Mikey had been another representative, and I'm now replacing Mikey on the group. I've only been on it for two calls. Basically, they're actually doing a very fine job of basically understanding the various parts of the GNSO process and trying to basically look at GAC processes and GNSO processes and find, you know, the places where the GAC could take action on various things. For example, the moment we're talking about when a PDP is starting and charters and at what point they might be able to put in comments and how they could go about it. And so the meetings are really quite good, and it's quite a fair communication between the two groups. Jonathan and Manal are doing, I think it's Manal, are doing a not positive, are doing a good job of leading it and basically very methodically going through. At the moment, the group is basically preparing its report for London so that they can brief the GNSO and, I mean, the GAC, and I guess Jonathan's going to brief the GNSO on it. But this is actually one of the good things that's going on in terms of how can we work together better throughout the process, so it's not just an end game problem. Thanks.
Can I add to that?
Yes, Dave.
Yep. Yeah, I've been on this group since the beginning, sort of drafted onto it as a vice chair, but it has been, I agree with Avril, it's been a pretty productive group. People are quite sincere on both sides, trying to identify useful ways to go with the process. To add to what Avril said, there are a couple of specific things the group will be seeking approval for at this upcoming meeting. One of those will be to have a funded position that is a GNSO liaison to the GAC on a trial basis. And at the moment, I think we're thinking that most likely will be someone who is not a counsellor, but hopefully is someone who has been a GNSO counsellor, so understands the processes. But because they'll have to spend, because the GAC and the GNSO are so time consuming, we figured that will be someone who spends most of their time in the GAC and then reports to the GNSO at a various times about, and you know, both directly with individuals and to the council as a whole about what is going on in the GAC, and also let the GAC know if there are PDPs that are relevant to things that are discussing and so on. So I think that's worth mentioning because it will be a new funded position, and so that's sort of worth mentioning. We'll also be doing a survey to the GAC and a few other things, and trying to keep working with existing GNSO PDP liaisons and so on. But that's the concrete stuff we'll be talking about in London. That's it.
Thanks, Dave. I think there is also more efforts from GAC to be more open and to outreach the community. So for ICANN meeting in London, there will be workshop session about geonames, and it is organized by, I'm not sure which GAC representative. So this one of the initiative by the GAC. And the other one is to have an open forum. I think it will be on Thursday, so the last day of ICANN meeting. So and there are more, I think, efforts and understanding from the GAC to be open to the rest of the community. And this, I think, something we can only encourage them. Okay. I guess we can move to...
I think the GAC had got quite a lot going on.
Yes.
The GAC has got quite a lot going on at the London meeting.
Yeah, there is a high-level meeting and so on. So, okay. I guess we can move to the next item, which kind of procedural stuff for GNSO, since it's the SCI. So SCI Standing Committee on Mutual Implementation. Maybe Avri has better know.
Yeah, I think it would be I squared implementation improvements or improvement implementation, whatever. But that's
So
Standing Committee on Improvements.
Yes. So. As you said, it's a standing committee, so they when there is any issues regarding, I think, procedure, process for the GNSO Council, so they take that and they discuss and propose it's a new procedure, like about for voting or, to be fair and so on. So I'm not sure what this, and they say it's a couple of issues have risen recently. I don't know what what they are exactly, but I mean, Avery, I think you are the representative for NCAG in the this standing committee, so maybe you have an idea what they want to talk about.
Yep.
Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is me. Well, first of all, I must say I had dropped out of everything, and I'm really frightening to find out how many things I'm involved in again. I'm also the GNSS liaison to the SCI in addition to being the NCSG rep. Now, this issue is actually a fairly old one. This one relates largely to this whole strange notion we have of friendly amendments in the GNSO. And, you know, there's first of all, in terms of, not that we follow Robert's Rules of Order at all closely, but Robert's Rules of Order basically ridicules the idea of friendly amendments being accepted by the person that makes the motion, because the argument is basically once a motion is made, it belongs to the council or the committee, whatever. And at that point, it really needs the council to approve any amendment by a formal amendment process. However, and this is where maybe one of the interesting and easy points comes up on it. If the chair basically sees an amendment as, yeah, everybody's in agreement with that, there's no need, the chair can sort of say, hey, there's a friendly amendment here. Does anybody object to it? And if nobody objects to it, then it can be accepted as a friendly. If anyone objects, then it's one of those things where you need to go through the vote. So I basically think that discussion having come up, there have been a couple incidences lately with friendly amendments being somewhat confusing, and also what's the role of the seconder in friendly amendments. So that basically it was looking like a tangled knot, and Jonathan basically said, is this something we should send to the SCI? And that's basically the issue. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Avery. So I think this can, we changed some dynamics in GNSO Council, because as far as we recall, this friendly amendment is quite old practice, so I guess that we changed the whole dynamics of this process.
Actually, if I can add one point, when I first became chair of the GNSO, I tried to change it because I thought it was an absurd idea, and I got shouted down, this is the way we do it, go away. In this case, I think we're going to look at it again.
It's never late, Avery. Okay, so let's go to the next item, which is the planning for London, and it's more about the planning of GNSO for London, in particular the GNSO working session and weekend, and also the public council meeting in Wednesday afternoon. I guess maybe David, as the vice chair in GNSO, he can give us much more information or updates regarding the planning, or if there is anything new or something that we should, maybe focus or anyway. David?
Sure. I think this will basically just be a call going through the likely agenda for the normal process and working out how we will look around the additional things that have been sort of put into the general ICANN agenda. As far as I know, there's no proposals or anything unusual or different with the council agenda, so this will just be sort of managing logistics. So while I think, of course, it will be important discussion for councillors, I don't think there's anything that sort of should concern the broader NCSG overly in this discussion. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing to be, nothing big happening. You know, there's nothing new being added to the way we would do the council work this session. It's more working around other changes.
Okay, thanks, David. I mean, the schedule of the GNSO is already available. I mean, and
well, there's the full schedule is already available. So, the full schedule is available. So this will be, looking at the thing, looking at how we order within the GNSO allotted time. I don't think there'll be anything unusual on the schedule. I'm saying I don't know exactly. I don't think it's been finalised, but I don't think it will be, terribly surprising.
Well, okay, thanks. Okay, I think we went through about all the items of the GNSO council call. Take some time, and then we will go back to our own agenda. Thierry, please share the first document.
Certainly, one moment.
Yeah, thanks. So, we are going in the next item to talk more about, policies the open public comments that really we need to respond to, and also if there is any update, important update from working groups. So, I didn't put an exhaustive list of working group. You can find that list in the project list in the GNSO website. So, but if any member of working group has any update that he or she wants to share with them here in the call, so please go to in the queue. So we have also the open comment period. First, we have the ICANN accountability comment. So Niels and Gabriel worked on drafts. They shared it with the members. They get several comments. They worked to resolve them, and hopefully we will submit in time in Friday. We have also three important public comments that we need to respond. The first is that I can find your strategic planning. It's quite, I think, important in terms what direction that I can will go in the next 5 years. There is also the DNS industry in Indo-Server division. This is a topic that we worked on it, mostly about the new GTLD applicant ICANN meeting in Nairobi in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. The other one is the who is requirement and national law conflicts. I think this is raised by the issue with the requirement, who is requirements in the registrar accreditation agreement and the provision about data data retention, which is like, for example, it's, I'm not sure how to explain it. It's against the European data protection legal framework. So, if you have, for those who are members of working group, if you want to share something, please go ahead. Otherwise, we can start with the ICANN accountability statement, since we have Niels here, and maybe he wants just to give an update or to ask for comments. Niels, can you hear us? I think he's... Okay, so maybe Ms. can speak now. For the other public comments, we would like to get, volunteers to participate in the draft. It means reading the report and then, to draft something. Really, you should not be worried about, what you will draft. We need to start from somewhere and someone to take the lead of such process. So it's something really bottom-up. If you feel that you want to comment about them, for example, that I can file your strategic plan, you can start and share with the rest of the membership. And so we work in collaborative way to improve, to make edits, to provide comments and feedback. But if you want to pick one of those public comments, please go ahead. I guess, for example, for who is required in national law conflict, maybe Kathy has opinion about it. Okay, since nobody wants to ask, I'm just...
Hi, Rafiq. I've been thinking about it, but not too hard yet. Do we know what the deadline is?
I think it's quite close. Let me check again. I should put next time, I should put the deadline so it will make much more easy to decide, but... it's the 12th June, so which means next week.
I know there's a movement to extend the deadline on that one, so I'll be happy to take it if other people want it, but we're going to work to extend the deadline past London, past the London meeting. Anybody want to work with me on it?
I think last time Stephanie volunteered to work on it, but I don't know. I'm not sure if she started working on that. So,
okay.
I guess you have the lead anyway.
Okay.
Good.
Great. Great. Well, thanks, Rafi. Thanks for finding people to do it. It's really important that we comment on so many of these things. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you. I think one of the challenges is to try to not overload our volunteers and to find a way how we can share the workload. And so that's, I think, one of our challenges. It's always one of our challenges, and hope that we can find a better solution. For DNS industry in English service region, I also volunteered. Didn't go so far, but at least I have three people who expressed the willing to participate. So I guess I need to chase them. so to work on that. Who wants to take? I can find your strategy plan. Okay, I guess it's maybe better to ask this in the main English. So this is about the open comment period. Regarding working group, I guess, so I didn't see anyone want to give an update, but at least... I think for the expert working group, the new directory service or who is, I think, I'm not sure if they published yet their final report. So I guess this is one of the hot topics that we have to follow in the next days, in particular before ICANN meeting in London, and checking quickly the London schedule, there is two sessions in Monday from the expert working group. So I guess first we need to read the report and to prepare our comment for these two sessions in Monday, and our members should be present there to really to give feedback. So okay, so I guess we can move to the next item, which is any other business. I put here mostly about the preparation for ICANN meeting in London. First, we have an NCNG tentative schedule. It's basically following the same, I mean, let's say, skeleton that we have, I mean, skeleton of session we have before. So there is really nothing new there. But we will have a session in Wednesday. Yes, I'm sure. So, session in Wednesday about privacy. Still, we are working on it. So hopefully we can share, so we can get the plan and more details about that session. One sec, I will share with you guys this. The problem with Adobe Connect is that we cannot click on this link. Okay, let me check the permission. Oh, sorry. Okay, now it's accessible to everybody. Okay, so you know you can access to the schedule. So basically, I said it's really follows the same program. Just we are not going to have this time the usual NCAG and ALAC meeting in Thursday, and so I said also we have a Wednesday session organized by a group of volunteers to talk about the privacy issues in ICANN. Other than that, we don't have really any new matter. On the other hand, also we have the meeting with the board, and usually the board asks us to send a list of topics that we want to discuss with them beforehand, at least 1 week before the meeting. And I sent to the list yesterday to ask comments. So I proposed that just a kind of an instrument, IANA stewardship transition, ICANN accountability. Kathy proposed that we talk about trademark clearinghouse. I guess it's new. I mean, that ICANN is spending a lot of efforts to promote the trademark clearinghouse, but not doing nothing to explain to registrants about ERS. So there is a kind of in no balance here. In other, I think Marili also suggested maybe we talk about privacy, but not clear what kind of issue. Just maybe we need to pick up specific issue about privacy. And the fifth one was proposed from Bill. I guess he can explain better than me what was his proposal. So that's what we got in now. Please feel free to add more topics so we can discuss them, and after we can decide which are more, I would say, the three, I mean, or four topics with high priority for us, because we just have 1 hour with the board, and we need to be effective in how much each issue that we can cover in one in 1 hour. And yes, Bill, okay, okay. So if you will, happy to wait the topic, okay, understood. So for now, we have just 5 proposals. So if we can get more, and just with the explanation of what you want exactly to ask the board, that will be helpful to explain and to get understanding what we want to get from them as response or information. Any comment on that? Okay. But also, if anybody has any information that he wants to share about the London meeting, please feel free to do it. I mean, because the other just yes, the other just other request is really to if you are planning to attend the ICANN meeting, you just fill the Doodle pool and also the wiki page, because it will help us in kind of logistics. So it will be very helpful. I think most of you in the call, you already filled the Doodle pool, and I really thank you for that. So, but if you didn't, please do it as soon as possible. So can give us an idea who is coming, and then if we need to organize something, it will be much more easy, and if we need to reach you or and so on. I will share again the link. Okay, there is no comment on this topic. If you have any other business, and I see already that Klaus is asking an update on the board seat situation. Okay, just to explain to give the context. As you know, the several SO and ACs elect of the ICANN board directors. So from GNSO we have 2 board seats. I'm not sure if 13 and 14 or 14 and 15. And so the 14 is board member elected by the non-contracted party, which include the commercial stakeholder group and the non-commercial stakeholder group. And the current board director in that seat is Bigram. His term in the Assembly General in Los Angeles. And so we had to start the election process to elect board director. The situation that after the first attempt for election, we couldn't reach, we couldn't elect board member. And so we are now in the situation, we need to discuss again with the CAG again about the process and to find how we elect the board director. So I think Klaus is asking what the update is. The situation is that we need to discuss with with CAG about the process. In fact, the last action that we tried to propose a compromise candidate, so the problem that we have a deadlock in the first phase of the election, we tried to propose a compromise candidate. He went through, kind of process that he sent a statement to CAG, and then he has a conf call. But I got a response from CAG through Steve Mikalitz. I think he's, I'm not sure if he's the chair of the IPC, and he said that they cannot support our candidate. So we are in a situation now discussing with them the policy committee in how we should proceed. There is no date for doing the talks because the problem with the CNG, it takes so much time to get feedback from them. So they are discussing on their side, we don't know if they are going to, if they are thinking about a proposal to share with us, and if they just want to talk about the election process, or they want to propose new candidates, or whatever. So we don't have dates. And I clearly ask it that we should really to avoid that to be in a situation that we need to talk about this in London. Are there any deadlines? The first deadline was already passed because if you recall, Glenn Messengeri, who is the Genesis Secretary, when she sent us the first email to remind us about the election process, we were supposed to elect board director 6 months before the Assembly General. So, which means it was supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, it was supposed the 16th of April. So we are already over that deadline. And that time, we check it with John Jeffrey, who is the legal counsel of ICANN, and he said it should be okay, but I think we need really to we need to find, to reach conclusion. It takes so much time and energy than expected. I don't think we are driving. That's the problem when you are working with another party. It's not always easy to let them accept what we want. We have to find common ground with them. We have to live with them. That's what the model of the house within GNSO led us to do. So I think if any other person want to add a comment, I think I try to explain as much as possible about the context and where we are now. Personally, and honestly, I want this process to end as soon as possible, and that we reach a result that can satisfy us as NCAG. But if any person want to comment or to add something, please feel free to do so. Okay. I think there's nobody in the queue. I guess if we don't have anything, any other additional item that we want to discuss about. Okay, just to clarify, since I think Klaus is chatting and in Adobe Connect. So Carlos is asking him, Sam, was our compromise candidate with CAG, and so he had to go through, I mean, writing a statement to explain why he wanted to be elected as a board member, and then he had a conf call with them, with their officer, I think, and he had to, I mean, to go through several questions. So, and then I got a few days ago, I think, in Saturday morning, Japan time, so it should be Friday for most of you, from Steve Mitali saying that, unfortunately, that CAG cannot support our candidates. So we are in a situation okay, just also I want to remind the discussion is going through the NCAG Policy Committee, since it's this committee which is mandated by the Charter to do any appointment on behalf of NCAG. So this discussion is still going on. Myself, I'm thinking about the process. We need really to set up with the process with the CAG. We can talk anyway about candidates, but without process, it's going nowhere. So, okay. So if there is no any other topic or any comments, and I think I talked too much without any intervention, so I guess we reached, I think, the end of this call, and there is nothing really to add. So I hope to see most of you in London. Please, just I want to remind you again, please fill this the Doodle pool. So really, it's for some logistic reason, and hopefully we see you there, and we hope we have a lot of, I mean, interactive and fruitful session in ICANN meeting. Okay, thanks again, and see you soon. Bye-bye. Can you please ask the operator to stop the recording, please?
I certainly can. I was just about to do that, Rafiq. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye. Once again, that does conclude today's conference. Please disconnect all remaining lines. Miguel, if you could please stop the recording.